This is a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people.
I never quite know what the official greeting is on a Good Friday. I know the official greeting on Easter Sunday, but I don't feel like there's like a... Is there like a tradition for Good Friday of what I'm supposed to say? Is it just good morning? I think that'll do. Good Friday? Happy Good Friday? It's not really happy. Don't know what we do with that. It is Good Friday. Today is the day we remember the death of our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is perhaps the most iconic event in human history. People who know almost nothing about Christianity in general know about this, that there was a man, his name was Jesus, he died on a cross. I remember once meeting a guy, just randomly, and we got talking, and somehow it came up in the conversation that I was a Christian. And immediately he looked me straight in the eye and he said, "Hey, I've always wanted to know something about Christianity. Can you tell me, why did Jesus die on the cross?" He was curious about this moment that we're remembering today, this key thing about the Christian faith, the one thing he kind of already knew but wanted to know more about. And that was a very exciting moment for me as a Christian to have someone ask a question like that. In that moment, I can't remember exactly what I said, but I think I probably muddled my way through some attempt at some kind of an answer. But the fact that he asked straight out just upon meeting me is kind of seared in my memory. It's an incredible question. And it was an unmissable opportunity that I think I kind of took and kind of missed. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to have another run at answering that question with all of you. I know you haven't asked, but I'm going to answer it anyway. I'm going to have another go at answering this question. Why did Jesus have to die on that cross? I think the first place, I know I didn't say this, but the place I would like to go, if I can have another run at answering this question, is actually to sort of turn my gaze upon the world and upon how I feel about the world. I don't know about you, but whenever I read the news, whenever I hear about things that are happening in the lives of people around me, I, as I get older, am more and more appalled about the world that we live in. There are so many places in the world where people are suffering through no fault of their own, through wars that are being fought, that powerful men have decided we're going to have a war now, and the people on the ground just have to suffer through it. There's natural disasters, there's people getting sick, children getting sick. There is a lot of evil in the world where people use and abuse those around them. When they feel like they have power over someone, they take advantage of that person. And when you gaze upon that, you can't help, something in your heart just says, this is not how it should be. Every person has this instinct built in. This is not how things should be. Have you ever wondered why? Like, who says why things shouldn't be this way? We've all just presumed that they shouldn't be this way. There are some philosophers out there or in history who have said, well, actually, you've got to ignore that instinct. You've got to ignore that desire. You've got to ignore that standard that you're holding existence to. Life is chaotic. The universe makes no sense. You've just got to embrace the pain and the suffering and accept it for what it is, because it's just the way it is. It doesn't mean anything. There is no perfect to aim for. But I disagree. I think that actually God has imprinted this desire for justice, this desire for things to be right. But the world has gone wrong. There is a link between that and the cross. And that's what we're going to explore. To do that, we're going to look not at the moment of Jesus dying on the cross, but at the night before. This painting up here is from an art collective out of Cameroon. And this is a painting of the reading that Alyssa read for us earlier. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night he was arrested. Just moments before, the wheels are already in motion. What did Jesus think of his death on the cross? How would Jesus answer that question? Why did Jesus have to die on the cross? You know, some people have the impression, I think, tell me if I'm wrong, but some people have the impression that Jesus died on the cross as a good man who was just caught up suffering at the hands of evil men who were playing political games. He was the innocent man caught in the crossfire, no pun intended, between the Jewish leaders and this Roman Empire who were wrestling for control and influence in this little pocket of land in Palestine. Here he is, this peace-loving, gentle, wise teacher who just wants to help people get along with each other. And these powerful institutions, the Jewish temple and the Roman political authorities, they see him as a threat to their power. He's too popular. He's getting too influential. We need to knock him off and get rid of him. So they team up to kill him off, and he's tragically killed on a Roman cross. It's a tragedy. It's sad. Maybe we should call it Sad Friday, right? I think anyone who believes that version has kind of got glimpses and bits and pieces out of the ether. They haven't actually sat down and read the account of what happened in the Bible. They've got this vague idea of you know, there was a guy and he taught some nice things and he died on a cross, and they've pieced that together, and that's the idea they come up with. But if we go and look at the Bible, which we've already started doing, this little passage that Alyssa read for us gives us a sense of what Jesus thought he was about to do. Because he knew in this moment, in this garden, what was going to happen next. He knew that he would go to the cross. So let's see what he said about it. Here is Jesus in his anguish, desperate for God to answer his prayers. I wonder if you've been in that kind of anguish, in that kind of desperate moment, crying out to God. And look at his heart in these prayers. What is it that is anguishing him? What is it that overwhelms his soul with sorrow to the point of death? He talks about this cup. Did you notice the cup? It's there a couple of times. What's that about? We've got some cups down here on the table for a little later. But it's not that kind of cup. It's a metaphor. It's actually a reference to multiple Old Testament prophetic passages. And always when the cup is talked about in these Old Testament passages, it's speaking about the wrath of God, the judgment of God, the decisive action of God against evil. For example, let me read you one of them. This is Isaiah 51:17. And Isaiah is speaking on God's behalf, speaking after the people of Jerusalem have just suffered some kind of judgment from God. And the prophet says, "Awake, awake, rise up, Jerusalem, you who have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath, you who have drained to its dregs the goblet that makes people stagger." It's pretty poetic. It's pretty hard-hitting. You see, the metaphor is this idea that people's evil actions, the evil actions of humanity, or in this case, the evil actions of God's people, the Israelites, are like wine filling up a cup, filling it up with the consequences of their actions, with the unpaid debt. And one day, the cup will be full. One day, the cup will need to be drunk on the day of reckoning. And the bigger the cup of wine, the more the people stagger. Do you get the metaphor? So, here's Jesus talking about this cup. Well, what has Jesus done to deserve the cup of God's wrath? Jesus is being asked to drink the cup when he himself is pure and innocent. And so, quite rightly, he is in desperate anguish. He knows. He's read these Old Testament prophecies. He knows that the Christ, the Messiah, must suffer and die for the sins of the world. He knows from his intimate relationship with God the Father, from all those times he spent in prayer, that he must suffer and die at the hands of the Romans on a crucifix after a conspiracy of the Jewish and the Roman authorities, and even one of his own nearest disciples. And he knows that what he faces is unimaginably painful. Physically, yes, but also relationally, emotionally, spiritually painful. You see, this is not just the tragic death of an innocent man, or the noble death of a man dying for a noble cause. This is the cosmic death of the Son of God, draining the cup of God's wrath, taking upon himself the consequences of a broken and evil world, full of sin and hatred and sadness and deep despair. You know, we talked about how we look upon the world and we see the brokenness and the pain and the suffering and the evil. He looked upon it too. He knew it even better than we do. And he knew that he must take it all upon himself. And he cannot bear it. What do you do when your world is falling apart? When everything is spinning out of control, when you know that you are facing great pain or great sorrow? Is this how you pray? "My Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. My Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." Jesus is longing for a way out. He's desperate for there to be another way to deal with the sin and brokenness of the world. But he realizes that there is only one other way, and that is that everyone drinks the cup. Either he drinks it or we all drink it. They're the only options. The world needs a savior. The cup is full and someone will have to drink it. It ought to be me. It ought to be you. But instead, it was Jesus. And Jesus knew that, and he wanted that. And people make fun of Christianity and poke fun at the idea that, you know, this is this abusive father sending his son to die on a cross. But Jesus knew and wanted that. He wanted us to be set free from sin and shame. He wanted to deal with the evil and the brokenness of our world once and for all. He wanted there to be a way. He wanted it to be another way, but knowing that there was no other way, he chose the cross. We're going to sing a new song in a little bit. I conned the band into learning a new song. And we're all going to learn it too. And I thought I'd introduce you just to one of the verses, because I think it really encapsulates what we are seeing as we gaze upon Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. How in that garden he persisted, I may never fully know. The fearful weight of true obedience, it was held by him alone. What wondrous faith to bear that cross, to bear my sin. What wondrous love. My hope was sure when there my Saviour prayed, Father, not my will, but yours be done. They're beautiful words, aren't they? Looking forward to singing them with you. This is the wonder of the heart of Jesus. Jesus prayed out in anguish there might be a way out, and yet he still trusted in his Father and willingly prayed, not my will, but yours be done. He knew what that meant. That wasn't just an empty statement to go, oh yeah, but God, you're God, you do what you want. I don't know what that is, but whatever it is, you do it. Encoded in that phrase, not my will, but your will be done, is the knowledge that the will of God is that he would take upon himself the sins of the world. And you can see that play out if you continue reading in Matthew's gospel. You see him willingly go when the soldiers come to arrest him. You see him refuse to defend himself, refuse to talk his way out of it when he's put up on trial. You see him receive beatings. You see him nailed to a cross, hands and feet. Again and again, he did not resist. He did not fight back. He did not call down angels to rescue him. He willingly went to the cross for you and me. So the answer to the question, why did Jesus have to die? I think the answer is because he loves us. Because he loves us that much. Beyond that, maybe you've still got some questions. Maybe you're thinking, that wasn't a perfect answer. I've got a million follow-up questions. Do you? Maybe you do. But I don't have time to go into them all now. You can come and find me afterwards. I'd love to keep chatting to you about it. What you at least can start to answer the question like this. That Jesus chose the cross, that he went there out of love, out of sacrifice. And so we're going to take a moment to celebrate that. We're going to celebrate it in the way that he taught us to. Just before going to the Garden of Gethsemane and praying these prayers, Jesus was in a little room with his disciples. A little upstairs room with a table and some reclined couches. And they sat around and they had a meal together. They were actually celebrating a Jewish Passover. And during the meal, Jesus instituted this remembrance that we're going to share in a minute. If you have a paper Bible, you can probably see it on the same page you're already on. Just a few verses earlier in Matthew 26, Picking it up at verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So we are going to share in that same ceremonial meal. If my little team want to come on up. The way we're going to do this is there'll be, these guys will be stationed around the room, so you can watch where they go now and be ready to approach them. Is the band going to come up too? Yeah, let's have the band come up too. And I'd encourage you, in your own time, when you're ready, to go and to take a piece of bread and a little cup of juice. You can take it back to your seat, and in your own time, to eat and to drink, and to pray and to remember. In fact, how about I say a prayer now, just to get the ball rolling. Our Lord Jesus, we come now to your table. We come now to remember what you have done for us. Lord, we come now and we see that this moment of you dying on the cross has this deep spiritual significance. Lord, it is not just a tragic death. It is not just a sad Friday. It is a Good Friday moment. Lord, that you willingly went to that cross because you love us. Lord, we thank you for that. We praise you for that. And we come humbly to receive afresh a remembrance of that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people. To continue the conversation, we invite you to join us Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. or on our website at www.nvbc.info.